failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Hello, all you beautiful people out there. This is the Century of Lies Show, Holiday Edition. Today, we're going to take a tour back through the year 2007. We're going to tune into about 8 or 9 420 reports. Let's start with January 13th, Jack Cole, Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
The prison industrial complex has become immense. Today, we have 2.2 million people in prisons. And each year we make another 1.9 million arrests for non-violent drug offenses in this country. Now they're talking about making prisons for profit and making them private prisons. And, you know, Dean, we have people who run those private prisons today that have banded together and hired lobbyists to go to the U.S. Congress and lobby for stronger mandatory minimum sentences. Now that is an absolute obscenity in my mind.
The following is taken from a new video documentary, The Damage Done, A Drug War Odyssey, which focuses on many of the members of law enforcement against prohibition. We'll hear from former Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer, coroner, former mayor of Vancouver, and now Canadian Senator Larry Campbell.
In the States, they have more people in jail than any other country in the world. We're asked to take our moral compass from people who dealt with Noriega, who had the Contra scandal where they were trading drugs for guns. I mean, you know, come on. It's more part of their foreign policy than it is part of law enforcement. It's not a war. It's a business. Let's imagine if we took out all the drugs in the world. Okay, just imagine that. Police, courts, social services, health care. It just goes on and on. It touches every segment of our society. All lawyers, judges. I mean, what would we do with all of these people? Gee, we might actually get community policing. We might actually start taking a look at how we deal with health care problems.
Law enforcement against prohibition. These men and women have served in the trenches of the drug war as prosecutors, judges, cops, guards, and wardens. They have seen firsthand the utter futility of our policy and now work together to end drug prohibition. Please visit leap.cc.
Now, if you've been listening for a while, you don't need the hint, but the truth be told, my band of brothers, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, are making one hell of a difference in ending this drug war. And I urge you to join forces with us. You don't need to be a cop or a former cop to join up. Just go to leap.cc. Next up, we're going to February 21st, another member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. In support of Black History, the Drug Truth Network takes a look at the impact of the drug war on the black community. This is ex-Texas warden Rich Watkins.
I think people get confused about the reality of the law. Criminals, especially in the state of Texas, who are convicted of felonies are sent to prison as punishment and not to be punished. You see, we have about 160,000 people locked up in our Texas prisons today. The thing is that those people are not going to just fall off the face of the earth. They eventually, a majority of them, are going to get out of prisons and come back to your neighborhood and my neighborhood and a lot of other neighborhoods. So, if you take a person and you lock them up and you treat them like an animal and you expose them to inappropriate treatment, and all you're doing is, instead of helping to facilitate the appropriate behavior of that individual when they return to so-called free world, all you're doing is you're making that person, if they didn't come to prison as a criminal, they'd certainly leave there as a criminal. And that's a classic example of how prison gangs have been perpetuated. And, you know, in recent accounts, you see where a lot of prison gangs are run from prison, offenders who are actually locked up. So, yeah, that kind of treatment is totally inappropriate and counterproductive. And as a matter of fact, instead of helping to facilitate appropriate behavior society would deem appropriate, it's going to further perpetuate a criminal mind and a criminal attitude. So that situation is just totally out of reason. But all too often, we defer our reasoning ability to information that comes from folks who don't really have the best interest of the community at heart. Any prison experience is going to be a negative experience, unfortunately, because once a person has been incarcerated, you know, they're going to come out with an X on their back. You see, we can't educate our kids now because we're spending these billions of dollars on locking people up, and a great percentage of those are blacks. You see, because what affects an individual affects a family. So many of these folks have families, and when they're locked up, then instead of them being a contributing part of a family, they'll become a liability to society, which means all too often that family becomes a liability to society.
Once again, that was former Texas warden Rich Watkins, and I would submit that the drug war has become a liability to society. You can hear this one-hour Black History special at drugtruth.net. Dean Becker, 420 Drug War News. Now, in case you just tuned in, no, your ears aren't going bad, and it's not 420. This is a special edition of the Century of Lies show, and we're taking a look and a listen back to the year and picking up on 420s that I think summarize the progress and the truth that we've brought forward. Next up, March 23rd, 2007. For the Drug Truth Network, it's the 420 Drug War News. One of our guests last week on the Century of Lies program was Maya Salovitz, who examines the situation regarding pain medications here in America. Maya, you had a piece recently published in the Huffington Post and now on Alternet talking about a gentleman in Florida, Mr. Richard Pay. Would you tell us his story, please?
Sure. He is a guy who suffers two seriously painful conditions. The first one is multiple sclerosis, and the other one is something called failed back syndrome, where he'd had this horrific back surgery that didn't work, that actually resulted in massive malpractice judgments, which didn't go to him. Anyway, it left him in a wheelchair and in agony, which he compares to having his legs dipped into a furnace. And he was going about his life. He got pain medication to treat his pain from a doctor in New Jersey, but then he made the mistake of moving to Florida. And now he's in jail for 25 years for basically taking the same dose of the same medication he'd been legitimately prescribed for years.
And 25 years for trying to relieve his pain. There was another Floridian who also was using opioids, Rush Limbaugh.
Yes, I've heard about that.
And had a very different outcome. Why was this multiple sclerosis and back injury patient singled out? Do you know?
Basically, a pharmacist noticed the large numbers of pills that he was taking and reported him to the police, and the police and the prosecutors took over, and they surveilled him for weeks and didn't find him selling the drugs, but they couldn't believe anybody could take that amount of drugs, even though doctors said that he could. There were two mistrials, and then in the third trial, they finally convicted him. Now, they had tried to get him to take a plea deal, but Mr. Pay said that he committed no crime and did not want to take a plea deal. So the courts came down on him really hard. One of the 10 zillion ironies in this case is that he's currently in jail receiving twice as much morphine via a pump in his spine than he was being prescribed previously. He was actually not getting enough medicine, all that medicine that they convicted him of trafficking. It's you know, the statute is written such that possession means you're trafficking, which basically illegalizes being a pain patient on a certain amount of this medication.
To learn more about this terrible situation, I urge you to visit the website of painreliefnetwork.org. Well, I'm happy to report that since the airing of that 420 report, Richard Paye has been released from prison and all charges have been dropped. Next up, April 13th, and the former mayor of Baltimore, Kurt Schmoke. For the Drug Truth Network, it's the 420 Drug War News. A couple of weeks back, I was in Washington, D.C., and I got a chance to speak with one of the leading drug reform advocates within the black community, the former mayor of Baltimore, Mr. Kurt Schmoke.
It really is just a shame that even under the current drug policy, we really have two different wars on drugs going on. I mean, in some communities, particularly if you're wealthy and you get in trouble with drugs, you go to treatment and you go to recovery, and it's treated as a health problem. But if it's low-income people, it's treated as a crime problem. And so we see this terrible disparity, and it ends up with our prisons having a heavy disproportion of black and brown people, when in fact drug use affects everybody, not just the black and brown population. My hope really was that this congressional methamphetamine caucus would start to talk to those who were involved with other drugs and see common ground and maybe start to treat this more as a health problem, because I know that the methamphetamine caucus doesn't want to incarcerate all the young people in the United States who've gotten caught up with methamphetamine.
One last question for you, sir. It's been my observation that this drug war has lasted some 35 years, 50
yeah.
years, or even 100 years,
almost,
if you go back,
that's right.
back to the Harrison Narcotics Act.
Right.
The question is, sir, these politicians have, if you will, made their bones by being tough on crime, by being tough on drugs.
Yeah.
How do they change 180 degrees? What would you say to them in that regard?
Well, one thing I do point out in my own experience, when as a new mayor, I raised this whole issue about the need to change national drug policy. Some people thought that was the end of my career. I ended up getting reelected twice. And I think it's, if you're honest with people and you go to them and you try to explain that, you know, if we were conducting any other war this long with these results, we'd not only want to have new generals, we'd want to have a new policy. I think people will begin to understand and give the politicians some cover so that they can adopt these new and more effective policies.
And to close out today's coverage from the National African American Drug Policy Coalition, this is their leader, Judge Arthur Burnett.
Change legislative priorities as to what problems we need to address in America, as opposed to problems even abroad, to solve the health care problems, the disparity problems, the disparate impact of criminal justice problems, and so forth, so we have a more intelligent, educated voter population that will elect people who will address these problems in a pragmatic and realistic fashion.
Their website, NAADPC.org. Dean Becker, 420 Drug War News. Okay, once again, in case you just tuned in, this is the Century of Lies show, kind of a holiday special. We're taking a look back at the year 2007 by listening to various 420 drug war news reports. Next up, May 27th. Well, besides leading the world in the incarceration of our own people, we export our drug war misery all over the planet, and it's becoming very obvious in Mexico that it's just not working. The Houston Chronicle publishes almost on a daily basis stories about said mayhem. Here's just one recent story. Police commander killed in affluent Mexico suburb. Assailants shot dead a police commander in a wealthy Monterrey suburb on Saturday, the latest in a wave of killings of law enforcement officials across Mexico. Mario Sanchez, 47, was killed by gunmen wielding automatic rifles after he finished a night shift at San Nicolas de la Garza, one of Mexico's most affluent municipalities. Police in Monterrey did not answer calls seeking to confirm the killing. Gunmen linked to drug trafficking gangs have been increasingly targeting police and soldiers as President Felipe Calderon wages a national offensive against drug cartels that make billions of dollars
smuggling drugs into the United States. On Wednesday, a group of about 50 armed men drove into the town of Cananea near the Sonora border and killed 5 policemen and 2 residents. The assailants were pursued, and 16 were killed in ensuing gun battles with police and soldiers. Sonora Governor Eduardo Burs said authorities had received information that the assault in Cananea was some sort of retaliation by the hitmen for their betrayal by local police, implying that they had had some kind of deal, end quote. Mexican officers often face the choice of plomo or plata, or silver or bullets, meaning they can either take the bribes or risk retaliation. Meanwhile, the leader of a state investigative police team was killed Friday in Hermosillo. Hours later, gunmen also killed the chief of criminal investigations in the Gulf Coast state of Tabasco, Raul Lopez Lopez. That story selected from the Houston Chronicle, and I'm sure one of many to come. You remember that old Ghostbusters movie? That phrase, "Who you gonna call?"
Law enforcement against prohibition. These men and women have served in the trenches of the drug war as prosecutors, judges, cops, guards, and wardens. They have seen firsthand the utter futility of our policy and now work together to end drug prohibition. Please visit leap.cc.
Again, that's leap.cc. Dean Becker, 420 Drug War News. Okay, rolling right along, thanks to our good friend, Drug Truth Network reporter Glenn Greenway. Back in early June, we did a Poppygate special looking at the situation in Afghanistan, now the world's leading heroin supplier while under U.S. occupation. This is from June 18th. For the Drug Truth Network, it's the 420 Drug War News. Last week on the Cultural Baggage Show, we did the bulk of the half hour on
Poppygate, bizarre news about the U.S. policy on controlling heroin, featuring Glenn Greenway.
For several years, it has been my pleasure to file weekly status reports with the DTN regarding the remarkable proliferation of illegal narcotics production in Afghanistan since the U.S. invasion in 2001, and the implications thereof to citizens of the region and to the world. Since then, Afghanistan has become the undisputed opium basket of the earth, a virtual drugs monopoly which last year alone turned out 1.5 million pounds of pure potential heroin. Indeed, U.S. foreign policy in the country now appears wholly dependent on President Bush's Afghan opium bonanza. The cultivation, manufacture, and trade of illegal narcotics now supplies up to half the country's GDP. The world has never seen a narco state like contemporary Afghanistan, a Texas-sized nation which now produces over 9/10 of the world's black market heroin. Incredibly, despite the arrest of 2 million of its own citizens for drug prohibition-related offenses each year, despite ongoing aerial drug eradication efforts in the jungles of Colombia, despite zero-tolerance policies and anti-drug media blitzes, America and her allies have openly allowed the Afghan drug trade to flourish. Just recently, a British psychological warfare unit broadcast a reassuring message to Afghan farmers that their poppy crops would be politely tolerated. Not only are Afghan drugs way, way up, so is the level of violence. Excluding the 100-year moral crusade called the War on Drugs, America's Afghan war is now the second longest war in U.S. history and grows bloodier each day. Afghan President Hamid Karzai survived a third assassination attempt. 2 young schoolgirls were shot and killed by alleged Taliban on motorbikes, and the U.S. accidentally killed 7 Afghan policemen. This week, your host, Dean Becker, has asked me to provide commentary on a recent Bill Moyers Journal PBS episode, which featured Moyers interviewing respected journalist Christian Parenti.
We'll have part two of this discussion on tomorrow's program. Dean Becker, 420 Drug War News. Once again, this is the Century of Lies show, a year-end special taking a look back at the year 2007 through the use of 420 Drug War News reports. Next up, July 9th. The following is a Drug Truth Network editorial. Does the drug war do anything for our nation? Does it protect the children? Does it stop international intrigue and rebellion? Is it based on science? Does it prevent death, disease, crime, or addiction? Is it even logical? After investing 15,000 hours into this subject, I know that there is absolutely no basis for this drug war to exist. There is no truth involved, no justice to be found, no scientific facts sufficient to justify this jihad, no medical data existent to justify this inquisition. That, to me, is what this drug war is, an inquisition, a means to frighten the people with propaganda, moral posturing, and justifiable fear of the inquisitors. The U.S. Supreme Court claims a drug war exception to the U.S. Constitution. They continue this moral posturing. Last week, Chief Justice John Roberts pontificated that schools may prohibit expression that can be interpreted as advocating drug use. Science has been corrupted for the last 100 years in the name of drug war. Medical practitioners have been corrupted as well and are now suffering for their cowardice as more pain doctors are locked up and their careers destroyed. Law enforcement has been corrupted, our legal system a hellhole. Customs and border agents are bribed on a daily basis. Prisons are filled to overflowing. The U.S. is now the world's leading jailer. Children are enticed to join violent gangs or to use the tainted products circulated by the black market in drugs, the world's leading multi-level marketing organization. The rebels and paramilitary in Colombia and Mexico are making billions and are escalating their wars. Thousands are dying each year. The Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and Osama bin Laden make additional billions from the opium trade so they can buy more weapons with which to kill our soldiers. It is necessary that we have wars, death, disease, crime, and addiction so that these moral leaders in government, science, medicine, and the legal system can point to the symptoms of drug prohibition, and through their stilted and evil lens of propaganda, they can call for more drug war. This is treason. Those who support this drug war, whether by outright complicity, feigned superstition, or by feigned ignorance, are the best friends the drug lords could ever hope for. The wind beneath the wings of the terrorists, homeboys to the gangs, purveyors of deceit, enablers of crime, reapers of the harvest of nonviolent offenders. Bigoted and unconstitutional drug prohibition is a betrayal of morality, science, medicine, and common sense. Those who stand for drug war must be brought to justice. Once we remove these charlatans from positions of power, other social changes will become much easier. That can only be done by you, by your words, and by your courage. Dean Becker, 420, Drug War News. Those in the know realize that as a Pacifica reporter, I don't get paid. There are no perks, no benefits to speak of. But one of the benefits is getting to talk to good people like Mr. Willie Nelson.
For the Drug Truth Network, it's 420 Drug War News. Well, last week I went to the Austin Freedom Fest. I got to spend about 15 minutes on the bus with Willie Nelson. When I first met him, I handed him a Law Enforcement Against Prohibition t-shirt and a brochure for LEAP, our organization. And I talked to him about becoming a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Here's part of that discussion.
I'm based in Houston, KPFT, but we put it out.
Yeah, I remember that state.
Remember, we used to do the Cowboys.
We did some shows down there.
And we share that with some 50-plus stations in the U.S. and Canada. You know, we're a group of about 9,000 current and former cops, police chiefs, wardens, all that kind of thing, and we're trying to end this drug war.
Let me ask you a question then.
Yes, sir.
Why should we legalize drugs?
Well, basically because we're funding the cartels, the terrorists. It's the reason most of these violent street gangs exist, sir.
Oh, that's a great answer. And I got the question off your shirt there. So.
Yes, sir.
This is a great opening.
Yes, sir. And if you would consider the brochure from LEAP? You don't have to be a cop or a former cop to join. We would consider it an honor if you'd just think about it.
Well, count me in. What do I do?
Well, I think you just did it right there.
All right. Count me in there.
Any closing thoughts you'd like to relay to my audience?
Well, first of all, let me say, what you guys are doing takes more balls and guts and nerves than what I'm doing. I'm just a guitar player. You guys are policemen, and you ride a lot of heat for what you do and say, a lot more than I do. So I applaud you for doing it, and God bless all of you.
Law enforcement against prohibition. These men and women have served in the trenches of the drug war as prosecutors, judges, cops, guards, and wardens. They have seen firsthand the utter futility of our policy and now work together to end drug prohibition. Please visit leap.cc.
Okay, and a closing thought about marijuana. You've seen the reports that marijuana may lead to a 40% increase in psychosis. Here we're quoting from Oxford's Leslie Iverson. Quote, despite a thorough review, the authors admit that there is no conclusive evidence that cannabis use causes psychotic illness. Their prediction that 14% of psychotic outcomes in young adults in the UK may be due to cannabis use is not supported by the fact that the incidence of schizophrenia has not shown any significant change in the last 30 years. End quote. And to provide contrast, one study has found that alcohol has been found to increase the rate of psychosis by 800% for men and 300% for women. Dean Becker, 420 Drug War News.
Okay, that's our look back at the year 2007 via the 420 Drug War News reports. We're going to close out with a couple of sections that most folks tend to look for on the Cultural Baggage Show.
It's time to play Name That Drug by Its Side Effects. Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, cirrhosis, psychosis, and dementia. The number one contributor to domestic violence and deaths on American highways. Time's up. The answer, beer. Tax regulated and freely available in all non-Muslim countries.
Okay, during the holiday season, please try to watch your intake of beer, wine, and other spirits and hide the keys from yourself if you must. Want to see you next year, you know.
Here's a news flash. The undermanned, underfunded, ill-equipped drug legalization movement will never end the drug war. Despite their efforts, the scope of the drug war continues to expand, from illicit street drugs to prescription pain medication to tobacco and alcohol. For decades, high-ranking DEA officials have said publicly that they wish to criminalize the use of tobacco and alcohol. And now, if you're paying attention, you'll see it beginning to happen. Not just across the country, but across the globe. Governments everywhere are placing restrictions on smoking. First in restaurants, then in bars, then in all public buildings. Come on, you know the drill. The goal, of course, is to ban smoking completely and save the lives of the countless millions who would clearly be better off without their freedom to decide whether or not to smoke. It's good. The government knows what's best. Drug legalization advocates are losing the fight. The drug war just grows and grows. This has been Winston Francis with the official Government Truth.
As I said earlier, take care of yourselves in this holiday season. Let's do it again next year. And as always, I remind you, there's no truth, justice, logic, scientific fact, medical data, no reason for this drug war to exist. We've been duped. The drug lords run both sides of this equation. Do your part to help end this madness. Visit our website, endprohibition.org, please. Prohibido es, Doc Ivalesco.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Dean Becker asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston.